නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස Dear Dhamma friends, as you all can remember, we were discussing Sunakkatta Sutta. This is available in Majjhima Nikaya and this is the 105th Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. Basically, if I just recall what we discussed, so Sunakkatta is a Lichchavi son and he once has noticed that many monks are declaring themselves as arahants and he was doubtful about it. And then he approached the Buddha and he questions, are they really arahants? Are they really fully enlightened? And then Buddha mentioned that some are really enlightened and some are not. Some are actually overestimated themselves. And then Buddha continue explaining what are the certain pitfalls available in the spiritual path and what are the misunderstandings happen and how sometimes people overestimate themselves. And particularly how certain category of people always get together, always move forward, having a proper company, having a good association when compared with another group of people. A certain group of people who are more inclined towards sensuality, sensual gratification, they easily cope up with the similar type of people. On the other hand, another group of people who are more inclined towards the spirituality, maybe attainments or maybe certain jhanic attainments, so different categories are actually mentioned, so then they are not really coping up with the other group. So likewise, Buddha mentioned that different groups have their different interests and only that interest are the ones determining their proper association, proper continuation of their relationships. So likewise, these different groups we can recognize. And on top of that, we have taken some other information from other Dhamma teachings, like certain vipassana upakkilesa, what we call as defects in vipassana, or certain pitfalls available in vipassana. So how people misunderstand certain skills as attainments while they are really not. Say for example, when one has very good sharp mindfulness, sometimes one can overestimate oneself as one has attained. On the other hand, when one has very high concentration, one can consider oneself as an attained person. When obhasa, when light, a very bright light is available, probably one can misunderstand that one has attained. When one has a very good equanimity, continuous equanimity, one can misunderstand oneself as that he has attained. So likewise, 10 upakkilesa, Buddha mentioned, rather the commentary mentioned. So these things are also sometimes we need to understand, because these skills appear quite appealing, quite distinct, and the practitioner is developing his own skills with hard practice, with lot of endurance, and as a result of his own practice, these skills start to be available with him, say sharp mindfulness, very good wisdom, say concentration, bright light, and quite firm in the mind, equanimity in the mind. So likewise, different very interesting attributes, very interesting skills. So they are products, results of his own practice. But if he overestimate himself because of these skills, that is where he go wrong. And again, if he identify himself with these skills, that is where he go wrong. Basically thinking that I am with the person with this equanimity, I am with the person with bright light, I own that, I possess it, the others don't have it. I am with the person with high insight, wisdom, others don't have it. I am with the person with high concentration, others don't have it. So here, even these spiritual skills, one can use to make a self, to highlight a person, compare with others, So that is where we go wrong, and again we are so much attached to these skills. And we recognize ourselves with these skills, identify ourselves with these skills, and we claim with these skills, compare ourselves with another person with these skills, and that is where we sometimes go wrong. And then we discuss about Venerable Chittahatti Sariputta, where he is talented and interrupting the discussion among the elderly monks, and at that time Venerable Mahakottita wants to stop him, and he instructs not to interrupt. And then the other fellow monks, friends of Venerable Chittahatti Sariputta, mentioned that he is a talented person, he is capable of interrupting, he is capable of putting his idea in this discussion. They try to defend him. And then Venerable Mahakottita mentioned, it is very difficult to understand a person's caliber just by the outside look. But there is a possibility that he may misbehave with the absence of a teacher, with the absence of other co-practitioners. On the other hand, even when someone is with first jhana, it doesn't guarantee that the other defilements may not come to him if, due to certain reasons, if he engage with various other activities, continue with many associations, get on to intimate relationships, and ultimately even end up with disrobing. And he mentioned it even to the second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and even interestingly to the signless concentration, animitta samadhi. So you can see even the samatha attainments, samatha concentrations, and even the vipassana concentrations are still, one cannot guarantee as completely free from risk, completely free from guaranteed attainment of full enlightenment. So there are still possibility of returning back to the lower states or mundane states. But if one attain really path and fruition, it is, we can say it is irreversible. So till that, we can say that certain downfalls are possible. On the other hand, Buddha in certain other suttas, like in the Labha Sakkara Sanyutta, the suttas, collection of suttas dealing with gains, fame, etc. So there Buddha mentioned, even for an arahant, gain and fame is a kind of an obstacle. And then he asked, why am I telling like this? Because arahant is a fully enlightened being. So for him, how these gain and fame become an obstacle? And there Buddha mentioned, the arahant has the skill to dwell in arahantship, to attain samadhi and enjoy that arahantship, that peaceful attainments in this very life till he pass away. But because of the gain and fame, he has to engage with so many other things. So he loses the time for his own reflection or own engagement in the Dhamma. And as a result of that, it is a harm for him. It is not that he is going back or facing a kind of a downfall. Rather, the opportunity he had to enjoy the arahantship, the complete freedom from defilements, so that time he has lost because of gain and fame. So likewise, you can understand this gain and fame and associations, dealing with others, intimate relationships are in a way harmful to the brahmacharya life, celibate life. And in the latter part of the Sunakkatta Sutta, so Buddha explains a very colorful simile. It's very interesting, and actually we briefly discussed during the question and answer session. And he mentioned a certain monk. So he is continuing his practice, and after his continuation of practice, now he come to a certain understanding. So Buddha has mentioned craving as an arrow and poisonous humor of ignorance, and ignorance spread out because of desire and ill will. Now I have eradicated that. So this is how Buddha explains it. So a certain monk understand that Buddha has mentioned craving as an arrow. It is not a simple arrow, but it is a poisoned arrow. And once hit, that poison is spreading in that particular area. So it is more difficult or more dangerous. But now I have uprooted it. I have removed the arrow. Arrow of craving I have removed. And that poisonous humor is nothing but ignorance. So ignorance also I have now removed. No ignorance in me. Now I can behave as the way I like. So this is how he start to think. And after having this kind of overestimation, now what he does, he start to associate certain various sights which are more delightful and prone to generate lust. But now he continue to associate such sights. Suppose there are women, so this monk is now dealing with these women. And there are maybe beautiful women, and so he enjoys. He likes to see them, and he move with them, he talks with them, he has a opportunity to be with them, so he continue. Similarly, there are some appealing sounds, so he continue with listening to those sounds. There are such similar appealing smells. So this monk continue to satisfy himself with such smells. There are tasty food, delicious food. So he continue to enjoy such food. And there are some beautiful or pleasant tactile sensations, touching sensations, and he continue to use them. Doesn't do any kind of sense restraint. Because he overestimates himself, now I am completely free from craving, I am free from ignorance, the arrow of craving is uprooted, poisonous humor of ignorance is completely taken out. What happened then? Then Buddha explained, now as a result of this inappropriate association, inappropriate usage of faculties, indriya, faculties, five faculties, using his eyes to look at unsuitable sights, using his ears to listen to unsuitable sounds, using his nose to smell unsuitable smells, using his tongue to taste unsuitable tastes, using his body to go through unsuitable tactile sensations. So slowly his mind start to get defiled, and ultimately even sort of disrobed. Now Buddha give a kind of a simile here. This is very interesting. And Buddha gives simile that we discuss in the afternoon. Buddha say there is one person being hit by a poisonous arrow. Now there are colleagues, there are relatives who approach this person, and they understood that this person is in a serious situation. So they summon a very skillful surgeon. Now this surgeon uses a very sharp knife, sharp, now in the surgeons they have different, what are the different utensils or different equipment, very sharp equipments, and using that he is, clearing the area using that sharp knives, different knives. And then he has a probe. Using that probe, he recognizes where exactly this sharp arrow head is available. He is using that probe to carefully recognize where it is. And now he uprooted it. he approaches the arrow and he applies certain medicine and etc. so that the poison is also removed, and he thinks there is no trace of poison now available in this person. Now he dressed the wound, and now he gives instructions to the patient. So what are the instructions? Don't eat unsuitable food. So there is a, this is a serious wound. Now I have removed the arrow, removed the poison. I have dressed the wound. Now this is your responsibility. Don't eat unsuitable food for this wound. It's a serious wound. And time to time you have to wash the wound. You have to apply medicine. So you have to cure about, I mean, you have to care about the wound. So again and again, I mean, even it's very applicable even today. That's the same situation. Say after a couple of days, you again go to the hospital, again go to the doctor. You show the wound, so they remove the old bandage. They remove the stitches. So likewise, same thing here. So the instructions were given by the surgeon to the patient that you have to look after the wound. Now you got to dress it again and again. So that is one thing. Another thing is, don't expose to dust and dirt. So you have to take care of the wound. And these are the instructions given by the doctor, given by the surgeon. But the patient, now he overestimates. Now this doctor has taken out the arrow and he mentioned that there is no even a trace of poison. Now I can eat whatever I like. I can behave the way I like. I can go to any place I like. I don't need to worry about the wound now. I'm done. Now he follow like that. Then what happened? So the wound slowly become filled with pus, filled with blood, and it become infected. And now it has become painful, and he exposed to dust and dirt, and he eats unsuitable food. And ultimately, either deathly suffering or death can happen. And then Buddha gave another simile, another story. There's another monk who continue his practice. And he too, with his strenuous practice, after some time, he too recognized some kind of reduction of craving and removal of ignorance. And therefore he thinks, okay, Buddha has mentioned craving as an arrow, avijja or ignorance as a poisonous, what you call, humor. Now I was able to remove it. But Buddha mentioned to take care about it. Buddha mentioned to be careful, not to overestimate. So I better behave well. I better take care of myself. I better take care of the faculties. So whatever the sights unsuitable for the calming down of senses, he is not watching. Now you can see, now if we come to a typical discussion about the animitta, as we discussed during the afternoon, say if one reaches signless concentration even for some time, so there is no agitation during that time. There is no signs of lust during that time. There is no signs of anger during that time. There is no any defilement at that time. But on the other hand, if at the so when he emerged from that concentration, if he continue to take signs again and again, if he watch movies, listen to music, enjoy movies, enjoy various sounds, tastes, touching sensations, etc., etc., then he loses that power. So that is what he experiences is only a temporary release. Temporary absence of marks, temporary absence of signs. Still he is vulnerable, his mind is vulnerable. So he has to take care of his own mind. So that is what Buddha highlights here. So this particular monk recognized, okay, I have achieved something, I have reached a temporary release, but still a lot more to do. I have to take care of myself. I have to look after the faculties. So therefore, whatever unsuitable sights, he is trying to refrain from. He is not associating, he is not watching, he is not looking at. Whatever the unsuitable sounds, he is not listening, he is trying to avoid. Whatever the unsuitable taste, he is not tasting, he is not going after. Whatever unsuitable smells, he is not going after. Whatever the unsuitable tactile sensations, he is not going after, he is not trying to enjoy. So he is taking care of himself. He is guarding his senses. He is guarding his senses. So this guarding of senses seems still valid. So guarding of senses is actually a primary type of sila explained in the Dhamma. Now if you consider four types of sila recommended to a monk: Patimokkha Sangvara Sila, Indriya Sangvara Sila, Ajiva Parishuddhi Sila, and the fourth one, Pachche Sannitha Sila. Patimokkha Sangvara Sila. Say, when one becomes an Upasampada monk, high ordained monk, there are many rules. So monk has to adhere to those rules. Upasampada monk has many rules. Typically around 227 rules are there. So monk has to adhere to that. When we compare the lay people, we can consider, okay, five precepts. So he has to adhere to that. Then Indriya Sangvara Sila. So the faculties have to be well guarded. So you can't simply go and watch movies and enjoy music and all sorts of things. But rather, now you have to recognize monkhood differently. You are trying to go in a different direction. So Buddha therefore explained that time to time monks have to reflect. Now I am a monk. Now I am different from the typical worldly side. So similarly, suppose you are now a yogi. You have some goal in your mind. Okay, at least in this very life, I have to realize something. So this goal is again and again echoing in your mind. So you have to behave in a way so that you are able to fulfill that echo. If you simply keep that goal, but if we neglect all our behaviors, then it is impossible. So the sense restraint is applicable. It is necessary, it is essential. And then Ajiva Parishuddhi Sila, to monks, say, there are certain things that Buddha does not recommend for monks. Using money, doing medicine for the lay people, reading horoscopes, palm reading. So likewise, there are so many things that Buddha does not recommend for monks. And say, if you come to the lay people, okay, certain kind of occupations Buddha does not recommend for lay people. Say, selling animals, selling poison, selling weapons. So those are not recommended. So Ajiva Parishuddhi Sila is another part of the sila, morality. Then Pratyaya Sannisitha Sila, attributed to the monks. Now when they are dealing with Pindapatha, when they are getting their food, so Buddha asked to reflect. So this food is not for entertainment. This is for the sustenance of the body, to the completion of the, or the, as a help for the continuation of the practice, to remove the thirst, to remove the hunger, to continue the celibate life. I am using this kuti, this dwelling place, just as a way of for the practice, as a good place for the practice, and to prevent animals, mosquitoes, flies, serpents, from the wind, from the sun, from the rain. So for that purpose I am using this dwelling place. I am using these robes to cover myself and to protect from the heat, protect from the wind, protect from the cold, and to cover up myself. So these are the purposes. So likewise, so Buddha asks monks to reflect whenever they are using these requisites: the food, robes, dwelling place, and the medicine. So similarly, even for lay people, so whenever they are using these things, rather than using them to develop conceit, comparing with others, okay, suppose you get very good food today, and if we are not really knowing or reflecting the purpose of having food, probably we can use it to develop defilements. So I am the one only having this kind of food, the other person don't have. I am more a rich person, I am a meritorious person, or I am a very lucky person, but he is a poor person, he is quite unlucky. So likewise, you can compare with another person and you can become more conceited. Suppose you are using a very luxurious vehicle, and while going there, another person is simply walking, and you can compare yourself with that person. You can become conceited. And you are in a very luxurious house, and probably you can compare with another person. So likewise, whenever we are associating various requisites, there's a high probability that we are developing defilements. But how to use them without generating defilements? So that is explained in the Paccaya Sannisthita Sila, where Buddha asks us to really understand the purpose of why we are using them, and even to look at them as elements, not to get carried away by conceit, comparison, and just to understand the purpose. So likewise, this, especially the restrainment of the faculty, is one part of the morality. And here in the higher training also, Buddha highlights it, telling that even a person, even though now he has a temporary release, still the restraint of the faculties have to be continued. So he can't take it for granted, thinking that now I have achieved a temporary release so that I don't need to worry much about these other things. They are only for the beginners. I am an expert now. I don't need to worry about them. If he continues like that, there's a probability of downfall. Now, this particular monk in the second scenario, now he understands that very well, so he behaves well. So he takes care of his faculties, he is not misusing them. So he doesn't go to the unnecessary sights, he doesn't watch unnecessary sights, he doesn't listen to unnecessary music or any other sounds. He doesn't associate unnecessary, unsuitable smells, tastes, tactile sensations. Now slowly, in a way, these faculties are not gratified. These senses are not fed up, nor not being fed. With the corresponding sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and tactile sensations. So in a way, we are continuing of removing the defilements, removing the anusaya, as we discussed in the afternoon, not promoting anusaya, not promoting latent tendencies. So the through the faculties, there's a high probability we promote proliferation, promote thinking. So when you see something through your eyes, it has a kind of a sign, it generates kind of a feeling. So if it is a happy feeling, so then you get excited. You want to recognize what is it. Now you look at further. You are looking at that sight with more enthusiasm. And you want to look at and find out who he is, who she is, and various other information. And more information coming out. And then thinking happens. Where is she? Where is he? What is her name? What is his name? Is he married? Is she married? So likewise, I mean, different way of thinking now starts. So ultimately, we ourselves start thinking, But when thinking really wakes up, more and more thinking happens in many different directions, many different tracts. And ultimately, the mental proliferation happens, and now we have no control. We become a victim of mental proliferation. In that way, we are promoting defilements. In that way, we are promoting latent tendencies. No escape. But on the other hand, if we understand this risk, when we are using these faculties, there is a high probability of promoting defilements, high probability of promoting mental proliferation. Therefore, I have to guard the senses. I have to guard the faculties. I should not promote mental proliferation. I should not promote being delighted by sense impingements. Sight, sound, smells, tastes, tactile sensations, I should not use to excite my mind. If one really wants to deprive oneself from sensual desires, so one has to take this kind of a stand, as we discuss even in the afternoon. So that is why Buddha again and again mentioned, highlights, time to time you got to reflect your own mind. Is my mind get excited because of a sight? Is my mind get excited because of a sound? Is my mind get excited because of a smell? Is my mind get excited because of a taste? Or is my mind get excited because of a touching sensation? So we have to honestly reflect. You are watching the mind, you are mindful about your mind. What is the state of mind? Is it excited? Is it agitated? Is it delighted due to any of these five chords of sensuality? So therefore Buddha asks us to reflect. So on the other side is you have to guard the senses. Even while guarding the senses, this excitement can happen. So you have to be careful. You have to be vigilant. So another monk follows this procedure. Now he actually has come to a certain level through his practice, but still some more to do. The wound has to be cured. So therefore he is behaving in such a manner which is more suitable, more appropriate to calming down senses, to calming down craving, to eradicate craving, to weaken the craving. Now Buddha mentioned there's a high probability that he is succeeding, being successful in his practice. Now, Buddha used the same simile with minor difference to this case. There is one man being hit by a poisonous arrow. Now he is in a serious condition. So his colleagues, his relatives now request a very expertise surgeon to come. So now he is approaching, he is coming. Now he start to attend to the patient. Now he has very sharp knife and all these devices. And then he removed all area. He cleaned the area. Now he has a probe. Using that, he exactly recognized where the poison, where the arrow head is there. And using that, he removes the arrow. He dressed the wound, apply medicine. And now he give instructions. Do not eat wrong food, unsuitable food. Time to time you have to remove the wound, the bandage or whatever it is, and you have to wash it properly and dress the wound again, apply medicine and dress the wound. Do not expose to wind, dust, dirt. You have to take care of the wound. So he give all these instructions to the patient and then the surgeon leaves. Now what does this patient do? So he takes care of him. So he remembers the instructions given by the surgeon. So he doesn't eat inappropriate food. He only eats the necessary or suitable food. He time to time takes care of his wound, apply medicine, remove the pus and blood and all these things. He dressed the wound time to time. And again, he doesn't go to dust, dirty places, but he is very careful about the wound. Now what happens? So slowly, even the wound get cured, right? Now the arrow is removed, poison is also removed. Now only the wound is there, that is also vulnerable, but he is properly attending to that. As a result of that, he completely get cured. Now Buddha mentioned in this simile, Buddha says, I am using certain analogies to explain to you. So in this simile, the wound is an analogy for six internal bases. So internal sense bases, six internal sense bases: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind. Buddha compare it with a wound. How we compare? And then the poisonous humor, that is ignorance. Then arrow, that is craving. Then probe. Can anyone guess what is the probe? That the surgeon using the probe, he is recognizing exactly where the arrowhead, where the poison. What is the probe? Mindfulness. And then knife has a sharp knife. Different knives are there used by the surgeons. So Buddha's analogy, knife is the vipassana knowledges, insights. Who is the surgeon? Disakko sallakattu. Who is the surgeon? He is the Buddha. So he is the skillful surgeon in this simile. So you can compare the simile and the real situation, how Buddha have this analogy. Now there being a poisonous arrow and it is being hit to a particular person, and now a wound available, now he is suffering. Now a surgeon comes and he has a very sharp knife. Using that he properly, do the surgery. And he has a probe using which he exactly recognizes where the problem, where exactly the arrow is. Now he removes it. So the still wound is there. Six sense bases are still there. So those six sense bases have to be taken care of. So the surgeon has removed the arrow, but six sense bases wound is still there. So therefore Buddha highlights, chasu passayatanesu sangutakari. So even after the arrow being removed, uprooted, so one has to take care of the wound. Five or six senses. And the next point is, upadi dukkhasa moolanti iti viditva nirupadi. Now he has another aspect Buddha highlights. So this monk understand at his further development, upati dukkhasa moolanti. This eye making, mind making, generating a person, having a sense of I, so that is the root of suffering. Nirupadi. So I have to remove that eye making. I have to avoid that mind making. Upadi sankhaye vimutto. So therefore, I have to remove these acquisitions. Eye making, mind making, I have to minimize, disclaim, avoid. ఉపదిస్మింగ్వా కాయాంగ్ ఉపసంహరిస్తతి చిత్తంగా ఉపాదిస్తతి నేతంగ్ థానాంగ్ విజ్యతి. సో బుద్ధ మెన్షన్, సో ఇఫ్ హీ అండర్స్టాండ్ వెన్ ఐఎమ్ ఐ సఫరింగ్, సో హౌ ద సఫరింగ్ జనరేట్స్. నౌ దిస్ ఈజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ వీ కాన్ సే applicable or at the very early stages of vipassana, but rather this is more applicable in the, we can say, when someone is dwelling with emptiness, trying to develop emptiness, trying to enhance emptiness, being with emptiness. So likewise, so his mind has more sensitivity now. He understands even the subtle aspects of suffering, how the mind get agitated, how kind of an unsatisfaction arise, how a burden happens in the mind, how losing the calmness when it is happening. So this is a very subtle level of analysis that one may continue. And there he understand upadi dukkhasa moolam. So this mind making, attributing a person, attributing a self to certain many things, any of the aggregates, so this is the root of suffering. Say you have the body, and when you recognize this body is mine, say there are various feelings, so you consider any of these feelings as a person, myself, mine, various perceptions, considering them as me or mine, various formations, considering them as me or mine, various knowings, considering them as me or mine. So very subtle level. So if one consider those as me or mine, so that is the root of suffering. So knowing that, now he try to disclaim that. Instead of promoting attachment to those aggregates, if we are discussing from the point of view of aggregates, so rather than attaching to them, rather than grasping them, now he is trying to remove them. He is vigilant how mind tries to make a self, a person, out of any of these aggregates. So while he is guarding his mind, knowing his mind, observing his mind, whenever mind is trying to make a person, prepare a person, make myself, using form aggregate, using rupa, so this practitioner recognizes it. And then he disclaims it, removes it, does not promote clinging. Whenever mind tries to clinging to feelings, so the practitioner recognizes it, do not promote it, removes it. So likewise he is behaving even to the other aggregates. So likewise, he slowly removed the asmimana. Actually, this point is also highlighted in Mahasunyata Sutta. So he understands how these grasping aggregates arise and pass away. And as a result of that, the eye-making, mind-making starts to weaken. So now, as Buddha is going further and further, now he come into another level of simile. Now there is a bronze cup, now another simile, there's a bronze cup of colorful, very good smell and tasty beverage, but it is with poison. Now Buddha is giving another simile. So he says there's a very colorful bronze cup. It is filled with a kind of a beverage. It has a very good smell and very appealing color, but it is poisonous. Now there's a person who is approaching, and he doesn't want to commit suicide. He wants to live further, and he likes to have a pleasurable life, happy life. He doesn't want to suffer. There are beautiful terms used, amaritukamo sorry, jivitukamo, amaritukamo, sukakamo, dukkha patikkulu. Jivitukamo, he want to live. He doesn't want to commit suicide. Amaritukamo, he doesn't want to die. Sukakamo, he likes pleasurable things. He wants to live happily. Dukkha patikkulu, he doesn't want to suffer. Simple as that. Now he knows exactly this is some beverage is there, it is poisonous. He knows very well. Now Buddha asks a question. What do you think, monks? Sunakkatta. What do you think, Sunakkatta? Is this person knowingly, will he drink this poisonous beverage? What do you think? No, right? I mean, because he want to live. He want to be happy. He want to continue his life. So therefore, he may not drink it because he know it is poisonous. Similarly, Buddha mentioned this particular monk who wants to continue his spiritual life, continue his attainment, continue towards the Nibbana. He know exactly this. Chasu passayatanesu sangutakari hoti. So these six senses are to be guarded. And the eye-making, mind-making have to be avoided. So therefore, I should not engage with unnecessary sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations and wrong thinking. Eye-making, mind-making, I should not promote. It is like a poison. So he understands that very carefully, so he behaves properly, like he avoiding or preventing poison, he does not do inappropriate things. And then lastly, Buddha gave another simile. Now there's a deadly poisonous snake, and another person approach, and he knows that he is a deadly poisonous snake, and therefore Buddha asks, will he provide his hand or thumb to this snake to bite? This person wants to live, doesn't want to commit suicide. And Buddha asks from Sunakkatta. Then what is the answer from Sunakkatta? No, he doesn't want to get bitten by the snake because he wants to live. He knows very well this snake is poisonous. So similarly, Buddha mentioned, the monk very well know these six senses are to be guarded, further guarded. And eye-making, mind-making, all these acquisitions are the root of suffering. Therefore, I should not promote these kinds of eye-making, mind-making, making an ego, being a person, generate conceit. So he does not want to, like avoiding that poisonous snake. So you can see very powerful similes are given even at the end. Now this monk is continuing his practice. He is already somewhere. But still Buddha highlights the importance of the guarding of senses. Not making a person, not making a self, not claiming a person, not claiming a self, not doing any kind of a self-promotion, not doing any kind of a self-appropriation. So these are very subtle aspects that we continue, actually. So as we discuss even in the afternoon, even the spiritual practice promotes sometimes a self. So that is where we have to be careful. Am I using my spiritual attainments, whatever the skills I have, whatever the achievements I have, my hard work, my practice, my understanding, am I using it to compare with another person? Or to highlight myself? Or to show off? So then it is very much like a poisonous snake. Like touching a poisonous snake. Like drinking poisonous beverage. So we are dealing with some very subtle mentalities. So therefore Buddha at the end mentioned these two similes and highlights that one should not simply guarantee complete enlightenment thinking that he is completely free from defilements even when he has achieved temporary release. So this Animitta Samadhi, we can consider it as temporary release. Only for a short period you are free from defilements. But it doesn't guarantee that you are completely free from defilements. Still the senses are to be guarded. Still eye-making, mind-making still can happen. Have to be careful. So these are the points highlighted in the Sunakkatta Sutta. And it is mentioned that Sunakkatta was happy after the Buddha's discourse because he understood now there's a more gravity in the path. Not just by attaining jhana, not by just attaining Animitta Samadhi, but lot more to do. Some more to be careful. Still more to be practiced. Still there are dangers in the path. So those are being highlighted in this Sunakkatta Sutta, and so seems like Sunakkatta understood the gravity of the path, the situations, and may be sympathetic to the monks who overestimated themselves. And therefore he was delighted with the Buddha's teaching. And that ends Sunakkatta Sutta. So with that I like to conclude Sunakkatta Sutta and end the series which we were doing for several months on this Sunakkatta Sutta. And let these teachings help us also to understand certain dangers in our path, dangers in the spiritual path, and not to get misled, and not to overestimate ourselves, and just be humble, and always have the companionship with others, and to reflect our own self, and to guard senses, and reflect whether still there are defilements available in ourselves. So likewise, being on the ground, not to get conceited, thinking that I am more spiritual than another person. So with that I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Thank you very much for attentive listening. So there is a sharing of merits during the during the breakfast. Yeah. In memory of Devika Jayawardhana, so who was actually a retreat organizer of Nisvaranamane, who passed away, who has been a regular participant of Mithrigala and Kalalgoda retreats. Her sister Gayatri made a substantial contribution to rectify the continuous problems with the water tank in Kalalgoda, and Samarajiva family too purported by way of technical and finance assistance in memory of their late parents. Blessings to those who contributed towards the purchase of a printer cartridge. Then blessings for speedy recovery of Dilhara's son and daughter. Now they got another news that daughter also was hospitalized. And again the ailing mother of Dilhara. And to all those who support upkeep and arms of Kalalgoda. And to all the participants. Finally to Bhante for the guidance and support for all of us to end this sansaric journey. And again, today breakfast dana was offered by Kamani Vikramasinghe and Iromi Pereira. Blessing for Kamani Vikramasinghe for her birthday. Lunch dana was offered by Ramya Diyabalanage to bless her family and friends. So these are the the names. People contributed and supported and always helping Kalalgoda, and we wish them getting well soon. And again, if someone, the relatives are there, past relatives, may they also rejoice in what we have done. So all these couple of days actually we were able to listen Dhamma, practice teaching, practice, develop mindfulness, develop concentration, to develop wisdom, and participate in the good association. So whatever the merits that we were accumulated, so let's share these merits with all the past relatives, all the beings in need of merits, all with all the celestial beings, and also we wish ourselves also to attain path fruition Nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses.
Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idang vo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang vo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang vo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.